typically use Erev Pesach as an excuse to give a shiur on Sefer Dvarim. I'll explain why in the first 5 minutes, and then we'll see how it all fit together. On the first floor sheet, on the first page of the floor sheet, I'm quoting from Perek Vav in Sefer Dvarim. And look how many things in 5 Pesukim we have in the Haggadah. Just again, this is an introduction. The show will start in 3-4 minutes. In Sefer Dvarim it says as follows: Kisha Chavin Chamachad and Mor Ma'ayim Tachukim Amishpatim Hashem Tivah Hashem Lo Tivah Hashem. Where's that Haggadah? What is that? That's the common question. Okay. What do we answer in the Chumash? The Matzah the Bicha, Avad Yemeinu L'Far Rubi Tzorayim. Is that the answer we give in Haggadah to? No. We make up another answer. We have time to talk about that. But this answer, we do say in Haggadah, don't we? That we sing a song even about this, don't we? How's that song go? We change those words also, don't we? We say how you use life. Remember? Haggadah is not about being free. University is understood that way, but in read Haggadah, we're going to take that, we'll see, almost the opposite. We can tell that soon. Then we continue, and then in Pasuk HaGimel we say, Pasuk HaBet, God gave Otsanu Moftim, we quote that whole thing, and Pasuk HaGimel, Otsanu Hoshi Misham, the man of you, Otsanu, the set learner of Tarot, Tazot, Shemba, Lafateinu, King of Israel, we quote that also. Who remembers where? Look at 16 in your Haggadah. You remember by heart, but you'll see why you don't remember it. The whole door of the door, everyone remembers. The headline, the Dibur Matzah. The whole door of the door, Adam Nirok, is a quote, Iluhu Yatami Mitzrayim. We all remember, don't we? Then we say this magic word, Shinema. Remember that word, Shinema? Whenever we say Shinema, what happens? But we go to the Sukkot Zimmer mode. Meaning, we just read it and pay no attention. But what are we quoting? We're proving what proof that every generation has to say that they went out of Egypt, and we prove it from this topic here. We have no idea what that's a proof. But we figure, if I've quoted it, it's good. Okay. And today's show will understand why the topic is so important. But look what we just showed you. That in the very beginning of the Haggadah, we say Avinu, the real one. I mean, the Haggadah has it without it. Modern edition. At the very end of Magid, what do we have? The Otsanu Simisham. Back in the middle, we have the white son question. And in Chumash, it's all together. That's the Baal HaGadah, what we call. No one knows about it. We know who wrote that down. Know the answer? Don't you know who wrote that down? The Baal HaGadah. It's like the sitter, who wrote the sitter. It used to be set up firm down in the old days. Now there's that. I mean, or something. It's a result of, layers and layers and years and years of Midagid. But there's a, the Rambam has this, I got a Nagi. But the framework we'll see is the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. We have a lot of sources all put together. No one person sat and wrote it. But what we have today, though, we're quoting from all these things. And to try to appreciate, why is Haggadah quoting so many sources in Sefer Dvarim, how does that fit in? One other source in Sefer Dvarim, I think we mentioned something about Aramiya Ben Avi in Magid. Where's that from? Yeah, and what book is that in? Also in Dvarim, isn't it? In R'A. Ray, we have other laws about there. Remember, you were slave in Egypt. But in Kitab. So we're going to see a lot of things. So that was the intro. I mean, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that Haggadah is quoting extensively from Sefer Dvarim. And therefore, now we have the title, if we understand Sefer Dvarim, maybe we'll have a better understanding of what Magid is about. Now we're going to forget all that and learn Sefer Dvarim. What was the first teaching? How do you understand Mishneh Torah? What does that mean? I mean, Chazal called Mishneh Torah, which means? Review of? Perfect, you said it, right? Was that planted? Okay.
Everyone says the review of the Torah is the review of the first four books. Now, the reason why we make that mistake is because of summer vacation. Because when we start learning Sefer Dvarim, wait before the Mishnah book. That's your encounter. Right? Okay. Rabbi's on vacation. No one, you follow? When we finish Sefer Dvarim, every other word. We'll start in the week. Everyone's going to go Shabbat and Kippur. We never learn Sefer Dvarim. Except the Balkori, maybe. No? A little bit hard. Okay.
We'll take the four books for you. Tell me one story of Sefer Bereishis from Sefer Dvarim.
Exactly. Not one.
Not even you done Tamar. Not one story. Avram, the idol, it's nothing. Right? None of this, nothing in Bereishis is in Dvarim.
Imagine that.
Aramiya Vedavi assumes that the reader knows what happened in Sefer Bereishis, but that's not a review. We don't tell the story, that's the Big Bang. No, nothing. Right? Neither the Togos of Esau. We don't know where they passed. It's not there. Okay. How about Shmo? The 10 plagues are in the garden?
Yes.
Moses is Tehran? What?
Fifth
Tehran. Fifth Tehran is there? And the 10 commandments. We can't even get them straight. Right? Two more. Understand? Of all Sefer Shmuel, you have Mama Hakinai, and the story is totally different of what happened there. Who got scared? Why they got scared? Was it a good idea to be scared? Bad idea? Totally different story. Chet Egel is pretty similar. But that's it from Shmuel. How about the Mishnah? Not a word about the Mishnah, isn't it right? And Sefer Shmuel, you can't miss it in the second half. True, but the Tzad has to be seized by Akam Kudet. And not a word about the Devarim. How can you call Vernon a review of Bereishis or Shmuel? Right? It simply isn't. Okay? How about Vayikra? Exactly. Nothing. Shemitah maybe, but for totally different reasons. Right? And Kashrut. But there, in Vayikra, it's Tumah V'Tahara. In Devarim, not a word about it. It's so different, the Bible critics have a heyday. Okay, we'll understand why they're wrong, but it's so different. It's got to be. They hold a different author. It can be. It's so different. How about Bamidbar? The loss of Bamidbar Nazir Salta for Azuma, the Mosim in Midian Musafir. Not one of them. Right? How about the story? The Mirage, they have the same story. Totally different. And what else? What? We make it Koran a little bit. And capturing it very early. Yeah. Which is 5 times more detailed in the review than in the original. How do you do that? 5 sugim, 10 sugim, and in Dvarim, 2 chapters. That's not a review. Are there any new laws in Dvarim that we never had before?
Yeah.
Almost the whole book. Okay. But it's mind boggling how everyone says it's a review.
What?
Ramban doesn't say that. Ramban. Those are all secondary typing. Rambam doesn't say that either. He's misunderstood. The people read him carefully. Okay. We'll see what Rambam says. Sefer Dvarim is a review of laws. For sure it is. It is Mishneh Torah. Right. But it's not a review of the Chumash. Most reviewers are doing part of today's world over and over again. To the reader, Chumash is brand new. And that's why I have to understand why. Got it? So now we show you what it's not, now we show what it is. It's so simple and so basic to Chumash, what it is. Am Yisrael comes out of Egypt, comes to Har Sinai. Before they get to Torah, they make a deal. What's the deal?
God wants a nation to represent. It's not just an individual to Torah, a nation.
A nation representing God, right? The servant, the representative to bring God's name to mankind. Basic theme in Bereishis and Shmuel. But Am Yisrael says, yes. And after we say yes, what do we need to find out? How do we come? We need to know how to become that nation. How do we become a nation representing God? How do we come from a nation of slaves to a nation of people? Okay. We don't get all the laws to Shulchan Aruch Torah, do we? We don't get in the Rambam book. We get in that good book. What do we get first? We get in the Hebrew Talmud Manot. Manot are little doses. First we get 10 commandments. At and then we get what? Parsha Mishpatim. In Sefer Shmot, what comes next? The Mishkan. And Rambam makes a big deal about it. What does Adam say? Do we get the Mishkan there? When Moshe goes out for the first 40 days, hold on to this again. Moshe gets the same man, first day. People get scared. But then we get Parsha Mishpatim, like a promo. Parsha Mishpatim is like a little. Parsha Mishpatim is mostly how to behave as a nation. Mishpatim, judicial laws, civil laws, the city, the chicken, and ethical laws. Be nice to strangers, guests, be a good citizen, for baking, be for shaker to the house, returning lost items to people who adopted in different shul, all that. It's a beautiful, it's like soundbite. Hebrew is called Mishpatim. Short little laws, we'll get details of them later on, but Rambam calls it a promo. Can't use those words, but if it's just like when a gear becomes converted, we give them a little sampling of law, and that's a sampling of Judaism. On that we say Naseh v'Nishma, and we're set. Yeah. Then Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. Doesn't he? What you hope to get, remember, in the end of Mishpatim. Moshe goes up to give before the heaven, and the Torah and the Mitzvah. What's that? It's unclear. I want to show you the Sefer Dvarim. But I want to show you. Sefer Dvarim says it black and white. When Moshe goes out for the first 40 days, the main laws that he receives are the laws of Sefer Torah. You'll see why it makes so much sense. Because up until now we have only general principles. We have the Ten Commandments. We have Parsha Mishpatim. Where are we going to find laws on how to become a nation? How are political leaders supposed to act? Never a nation representing God. What type of judicial system do we? What type of economic system are we going to need? How we go to war? How we celebrate? What's going to be our hub? How we treat our Kohanim and Navi? Who are how about a Navi? How do we know the right one? What? How about society? Marriage laws? Laws of the marketplace? Sefer Dvarim is the detailed law of how a nation represents God. And is it, you know where we find how a Jew represents God? It's not in Dvarim. Where do we get a beautiful little question of how a individual represents God? Because he's Kadosh. Remember Joshim Tiyu? Joshim Tiyu talks about individual behavior. In contrast, primarily Sefer talks about a nation's behavior, a society. Laws of Leket Shichah and Peah. That's law of the society. Shemitah law. Every 7 years, a knowing death. That creates a certain type of an economy where the rich don't get too rich and the poor don't get too poor. That's tested at a national level. Standing up for an elderly person, not talking rechivas and things like that. That's part of Joshim Tiyu. But a nation, but how a king has to act, how Shoftim to Shoftim have to act, where to put them, where to tell them, how to go to war, communal responsibility, and our rules, like follow? We never change those before then. That's Sefer Dvarim. When do we get those laws? When Moshe Rabbeinu goes out for the first 40 days, he gets the laws of Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim says so. Now, in the meantime, what happens? When Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the laws of Sefer Dvarim, what happens? There you go. So when Moshe comes down, he can't tell them those laws. He prays. In fact, then we have a whole affair. The relationship is in crisis. The rest of the Sefer Shmot focuses on one topic, which is how are we going to repair the crisis? That's Chet Ego, that's Midot Rachamim. And what are we going to build to fix our relationship? The Mishkan. And therefore, after we have one of the topics, the Mishkan is only given. Because it had it not been for Chet Egel, would we have needed a Mishkan? But what wouldn't we have needed? What would we, if it wasn't for Chet Egel, we wouldn't have a basic Mishkan. For sure we would. Sefer Dvarim talks about a permanent temple. Had it not been for Chet Egel, I'm explaining the Tichazal. She taught Rashi. Had not been for Chet Egel, we would have gone right to Israel like they invented. And why build a temporary mikdash, build a permanent one? And that's why David Kern talks about on the Holy Shem Tashash. That's the law of the first 40 days. Because of Chet Egel, what happened? Change of plan. Now we need a temporary, portable mishkan. It will only be affected by a permanent one after we go to Israel. Why Chumash puts the Mishkan earlier? That's a whole shir. That's in the Mishkan Torah. But the rest of the Sefer Shmot talks about how we're going to fix the relationship. Sefer Vayikra talks about, now that we have a Mishkan, God's moved in, how the house changes around. Understand? A big rabbi comes to stay in your house, what's going to happen? They go to TV, how we get to talk to people, dress different, eat differently, diet differently, that's how you go. God's Shinam. Again, it's called land. God's living with us. God's not living in his cave. Remember? The Mishkan's not a cave for God. That's this Mishkan for Shachati. It's a farm. It's in the house. It's in the room. He's in the living room, dining room, everywhere. Therefore, how do we attack? Well, that's a kashru, that's a kusha. Kusha is a nation. We thought God in our midst. Our diet is different, how we talk is different. That's why you go to the book of Kedusha. But don't we have? We don't have Torah yet about how we answer that. Moses got those out of the Sefer Dvarim, but Chumash didn't record them yet. Bamidbar talks about how we travel in the desert, etc. Why the first generation didn't make it? The book about leadership. There's some more laws there about the Mishkan. But in the meantime, what happened? Moses related God all along on Har Sinai, the first 40 days. We'll see soon, he taught them to the people, but Chumash never recorded them. Until when? Until they recorded. Now we're going to find out why. Now, and our first source is Dvarim Perek Daled. We'll just summarize real quick. You can look at it later on. In Sefer Dvarim, the first four chapters is a speech. It's an introduction speech. And Moshe has to explain why it's been 40 years since we got those laws. Because the laws of Sefer were given during the first 40 days, correct? I'll show you that in a minute. Why weren't they fulfilled right away? First set to Egypt, but then we got over there. We traveled a year later to Har Sinai. We were supposed to go to the land of Israel right away. Why is it 40 years? Because, and therefore Moshe begins his speech. He's not coming to review Chumash. Follow? He's giving a pep talk. He's saying, 40 years ago, we were late at the gate of the land of Israel. We were about to go in. Who messed up? You did. Who's playing for this fiasco? The people. Some people talk about leadership, depending on the, you understand? Moshe is not giving review of women. He's giving a test out to the people to make sure they don't do it again. Yeah.
He's basically talking to a new generation.
For 40 years later, for sure. But he's treating them like what?
Like the old
ones. Like the old ones. He's going to talk to them like they took care of Egypt. You understand how we do that in the center? That's what we're talking about. All through the speech, Moshe going to talk to them like they were there. And we're going to learn from that. Every generation has to know why. Because that generation is doing what the first generation was supposed to do. That's the link between all the generations. So that's the paradox. And then Moshe explains, don't be scared. Remember 40 years we've been hanging around the desert? People might think, hey, maybe we're weak. What Moshe explains? The reason we lost the first time, not to them. The reason we didn't attack Moab, our cousin, we didn't attack Edom. God said not to, you follow? But look what we did to Sichon. Now you see why the two chapters on how we go to Sichon? It's a paradox. Just like the last two master, you remember from Dvarim. Tell Bishop, look what we did to Sichon, that's what God will do to all the nations on the other side. And that's why he talks about the Negev, the Negev, we're going to help out, etc. We're all set. And then, Dalit gives them a whole set of laws about the law. Don't add, don't take off, etc. The speech begins in Parakeh. Is that all? I'll write down a promo. I mean, a pep talk beforehand. Get not a review of Chumash. A beautiful speech to the new generation to make sure they don't make the same mistakes again. Parak Hay begins the speech. At the end of Parak Dalet, Sefer Dvarim introduces the speech with Sukkim, which you don't have to stand up for now, but it's today, every Monday, and Thursday. Sukkim, Parak Dalet. The Zotah Torah, the Tamil Tetra, the Tetra, that introduction to the speech. We'll check it out later in the regular comments. That introduction, first of all, already called the Torah, is followed by a what's the Torah food? Okay. These are the laws in Sefer Dvarim that Moshe Rabbein Israel went when they left Egypt 40 years back. Look at the next line. They're very good things. Can we take 40 years more, brothers? The reason why it will be simple. Because the laws that Moshe Rabbein Israel is going to teach in Sefer Dvarim are the same ones that you received in Talmud. And I see that. Moses teaching them, there's a set of laws here that Moses taught over and over and over again. And what Sefer Dvarim is recording is not the first time he taught them, but the last time he taught them. Now, again, this is the most critical point to understand in the book. The laws of Sefer Dvarim, Moses
Moshe Rabbeinu taught them over and over again during the 34 years of the desert.
Chumash had not yet recorded them. What does it do instead?
Moshe Rabbeinu began to speak one last time before he died to the new generation, and we'll see these laws are not how the nation is going, what they're going to do when they enter the land.
And Chumash prefers to record his speech in its final form.
Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives his speech after 40 years of experience, what's he going to ask?
The law, he can't touch. Those are God's laws. What can he ask?
Explanation.
He can ask Moshe,
remember what happened in Syria, remember what happened, remember with Korach, remember what happened there.
He can ask. Tremendous, that's Rashi. It lets Bari, the Chachot. What's the Kiddush of the book? The laws or the Chachot? Is it God's law to Kiddush or Moshe's Chachot?
Is it permission to be Moshe?
That's Rashi Ramban. Machloket. We'll see it later on. But what Chumash is recording, what Chumash prefers to do, is it records the laws not as how they were given the first time on Mount Sinai.
It records instead that they were given by Moshe Rabbeinu in the last verse. And we'll see if this is a set of laws that each kind of repetition. This is called Mishneh Torah. We'll see a part that feels like the heart that explains it. We'll see it very soon.
But that's the introduction to the speech. Now notice, what words introduced the speech? Look in Pasuk.
What do we find later in the speech? She just children ask you what? Ma, are you talking about the speech? That's a question. That's a question based on the introduction to the speech.
It's not a question about the Seder. It's a question about why did God give us the Torah? What's the purpose? Why we were chosen?
It's a fundamental question. Within the answer to it. In front of America, I've made the speech begin.
And what's the first words of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech?
See what the words are saying when the speech begins? Moshe Shema Yisrael HaMashim 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 HaMashim.
Remember the Lord's speech writing? What are the three parts of every speech? That's going to be followed by the story out that's in Pasuk Yud Tes. See the story there? after the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim,
Moshe Rabbeinu continues the story and Moshe comes to explain why the people got scared. And when the people happened, the people got all scared.
There's much more detail than Shmuel. In fact, it's a different story than Shmuel, going to almost all the Parshanim. And look at Pasuk Abdallah.
By Shema Hashem, it's called
One day Yom Kippur is enough. Understand what I mean? Mama and Hashim were too intense. And they said, any more of this, we're going to die.
Most of it, if you go up, you get the law, and anything you tell us, we'll believe you.
God hears that, he says, good idea.
Get the brothers from Baba Hashim. Make that the most of you. Make the more than 200 more. And most of the people go back to the
tent. Pasuk Zion is the key to the whole book. But that for Amori Mati. But that way, let us call him Mitzvah of Tuma Mishpatim Hashem Tlamdeh Batum Ha'ad Vishor Ha'ad Vishor Ha'ad Vishor.
What do they do?
You go back to the land and keep all the laws that I'm sorry, you send the people home, you stay with me up in Har Sinai,
and I'll tell you all the laws you have to teach them.
So where do these laws need to be kept? What's it say there? But Subaara Tashir Ha'ad Vishor. What's unique to laws and sacred burning?
These are a set of laws that I'm going to need to keep as they enter the land.
Look, they apply only to the nation going into the land. They're not just about the land, but how to set up a nation in the land, a nation representing God.
What are the laws set up in the
Guess what the first law of the speech is? That was only introduction. We say it every day. Right? What's the story of the 11th? What's the first law of the speech? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. A law, that's more than a law, that's a principle. That's Kabbalah Shema Yisrael. That's saying, he's our boss. And our boss, who we have a covenant with, he's the only God. What's the first mitzvah? That's okay.
Why is that?
That's
because how
mitzvah
we are.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why is up front? Why does that take precedence over all the other ones? What? Exactly. Now, you can be a robot.
He's everything. But you can be the Baba Mitzvah Torah. If you don't have Ahmad Hashem, you're an edit serving God. The most important thing is attitude.
Identifying with your boss. Taking that responsibility. You have guidelines. You have a worker's manual. So allow me to vote. But the attitude comes first. Ahmad Hashem. Now we get the pasuk we say by heart every day, which explains the vote.
Okay, Baba. But you know how to pray for Amen. What's that referring to?
And this Torah, see, we're not time now, but
these laws that begin with Eretz Yisrael, they continue all the way to Eretz Yisrael. Understand? When you run through this part, you see there's one speech that begins here in Parakeh, and Parakeh, most of the story, how the laws were given. Then you give Shema Yisrael, Ma'asat Hashem Elokecha. These laws are going to continue all the way to Eretz Yisrael. They begin with Eretz Yisrael, and the end is 22 chapters of law. In between the Musa Rabbah was here, remember this, but for that, that's mostly wrong. The first section before Hamishvah, which is from Shema to Bahim Shemot, is all about attitude, and it's Hanan and Eger.
Attitude. Don't fear God, don't forget God, don't intermarry, don't get haughty, don't be fearful.
All, remember it's Hanan and Eger, sounds all repentant.
With flashbacks, remember how bad you were? Remember how bad you were? Because Eger was how bad you were in the desert. You don't deserve what you're getting. God takes.
Goes on.
About attitude, etchanan and neger. That's hamitzvah.
And then from there to that, it says part of it has to call the hukim mishpatim. It goes from there a to b to c. What's the last mitzvah of speech? You got the Torah.
Once a year, every Jew has to come and say, Aramiya, has to make a proclamation of his indebtedness. I think it's a word to God. It's understanding why he was chosen. That's Armiya Vinovin, why God chose his forefathers, what's he doing in the land.
And when you see how all the schools are coming ready to say her, and I know not all from sorry. Now,
what we say every day, but you have brought me that from Mr. Hayom,
then speech from, Teres from, through Kabbalah. Okay?
Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim. What's the reason for Shabbat? No, it's not Bechet Shemitzvah.
It says, keep Shabbat. Why?
L'man Yanuah of the Chava Mosak Aloha. You have to rest. Please, you have to give your work as a day of rest. And then it says, remember you were once a slave in Egypt. That's a prod, or a stop in English. It's saying, you have to rest every 7 days. In order to work at rest, remember, you are once a slave in Egypt, and your offices give you a day of rest. When you become a nation representing God, don't you dare do that to somebody else. Now, in Sefer Shemot, we have a different reason. And you don't have to hate each other. One is the reason they got on the wrong, the other is the reason they got on the wrong. It's so beautiful, I'm going to take the exact same law and give it a double reason. Because that's what Sefer is about. Our relationship with God centers around our relationship with our fellow men. Same thing with Shemitah. What's the reason for Shemitah and Vayikra?
Shabbat
Hashem. The land belongs to God. What's the reason for Shemitah and Vayikra?
And also Shemot. They're full of Vayikra now.
Before you love what they eat. That's not contradictory. It's not two different authors. That's a main point in Judaism. That our relationship with God centers around how we treat our fellow men. There's a reason why God chose us. We're a model nation. Now, in the middle of Sefer Dvarim, go back to on page 3.
And Perek Yud, Moses in the middle of the speech. He goes to the last of the Lord. He says,
what
God wants
from
me, he
wants
you to fear
him. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. And then he continues, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ki Hashem Elokechem, Hu Elohim, Adonai Adonim, El Hagadol, Ki we start by being close to Shmoneta, don't we?
Then, but how do we describe God? Or send me Shmoneta to Torah Ramana, to our hate the other set of rest of the Simba. That's it, I get it, why? Get it, that's right. What do you have that the first time?
In Parsha Mishpatim,
why?
Remember, Batim, he's at 7% here, he's making it to Shmoneta. He's repeating the same thing from Ramana or Simba. We're going to see, the Sun was in Vine that repeats Mishpatim, something that Mishpatim was in Roma. So he details. Shalosh Regalim in Mishpatim gets the whole parak of Shalosh Regalim in Pasuk, that's Kol HaBachor. Kol tons of Pasuk Dvarim are one minor. They're one minor in Mishpatim. They're detailed. That's called Kvar Ukra. Now, the Chukim Mishpatim begins in the Mitzvah ends in Dvarim Yud Aleph. Let's skip that part. Dvarim Yud Aleph summarizes the Mitzvah section. And then continues in Perek Yud-Bet begins the Chukim Mishpatim. The first law is going to be our hub. The hub, the national Habakom Hashem Parashem Hashem Shmosham. Imagine a nation without mass media, without the internet, without telephone, without thing. How are we going to keep the nation together? How are we going to be one God, one nation, and not 12 different religions? Every Jew has to do what? Over, frequently come the Habakom Hashem Parashem. For Shalosh Regalim, to bring him Aser Sheni, to bring him Kor. Look how many wives and sages burn in the fire every Jew that comes to the Beit HaMikdash on a regular basis. Yet realize how important that is? If you didn't have that, you would never have a religion lasting thousands of years. We don't appreciate that because we have, you can get every show you can get, you go to YU, that's what it is. Every show you're recorded. I don't know why people come, you can get everything. I can send a tape, you can listen to the tape. But, you don't want to commit it for Pesach. now, look at the law of Shavuot. That's just one example of the law. But we're going to read it on Kol HaBachor. What's the reason for Shavuot and Sefer Dvarim? Count 7 weeks, etc. And you make a Chag Shavuot L'Hashem Elokecha, bottom line. V'samach l'ifnei Hashem Elokecha, atal bin kal bitecha, b'cha b'amatecha. And who else? Halevi Asher b'sharecha. Zad Ger b'yatom b'amena. It comes up over and over again in the book. Remember, when you celebrate your wheat harvest once a year, and you're thanking God for your wheat harvest, how do you thank God for your wheat harvest? Not by you being happy, by making others happy. Who gets to make happy? Those who don't have land. Rashi on the spot, you make my poor happy, I'll take care of your poor. You take care of the lady, you're in the tomb, I'll take care of you and your wife and your children and your household. Okay? How does it end? How to get that? V'zacharta kivarita, there's Mitzrayim. What's the theme in Sefer Dvarim?
Be kind in your society. Be a model nation. Be sensitive. Don't dare do to others what the Egyptians did to you.
God put you through that to learn a lesson. To sensitize you. When you become a nation representing God, you're a model. over and over again in Sefer Dvarim. Shavuot doesn't say to remember God gave us the Torah. It says remember why God took you out of Egypt. The same reason He gave for Shabbat. It's consistent. Later on in Dvarim, it says don't pervert the law of Gedi Yotam Lamana. Again, remember you were slave in Egypt. When you're gathering your harvest in your fields, lots of shikha, letting it out, you know the laws of Egypt. Has an end, remember, you are once a slave in Egypt. Beautiful is giving stakah, not that they're getting money, letting poor person feel it in himself. A whole set of laws of chesed. And then the speech ends in the end of Sefer Chazal, right before Mikvah, right after Mikvah Bikurim. Just look at the last line of the speech in B. How'd that become B? I'm not sure. In page 4, that's the summary of the whole speech, Sefer Chazal. And how do you keep them? The whole of Achar Pon Hashemah, and then he goes back to Mamahar Sinai. You took upon you for him to be your God and keep all his laws. God took upon him to make him an Amtsalah. And the bottom line, to put you above the other nations, for one reason. The Tila Hashem of Tiferet, and to make you an Am Kadosh, as God told you in Har Sinai. You see the summary? What's the summary saying? The laws I just taught you from Sefer Chazal, that will make you a Mamlechet Koni B'Goy Kadosh. And it's all called a Torah, Torah like a recipe. A Torah is a procedure. This is fun. How to bring it all up? Those are Torah. How to bring it in Kah? Those are Samin Kah. How you make a Mamlechet Koni B'Goy Kadosh? Moshe. When did Moshe go up to get this? Moshe, the first Mishpatim. Understand the Mishpatim? Moshe goes up to the Kila and gets the look on the heaven, the Torah and the Mitzvah, the Shekhatapi. And Moshe does it for the first 40 days. Look at later on in the end of Parsha Mishpatim. Shvi. And that will make you a Tila Hashem with Tiferet for God. We talk about this every Shabbat, don't we? Thanks to Rav Shlomo Alkavit, who is a real Kabbalah, the new Sefer Dvarim. Remember? Some of us are probably people are not somewhere. That one, but it's a favorite party. Yeah. So it's based on that case, isn't it? Hashem HaKadu Shmua Chav, the third part, isn't it? The same thing that came up, it's the end of the speech. It's the book end of the speech. If you don't know Chumash, you don't appreciate Kabbalah. You're on the mark. Okay. Now, for a good reason, the last mitzvah of the speech is once a year. Okay, two answers, and make the category earlier. Once a year, you're going to make a proclamation, your pledge of allegiance. Right? I know why God gave me the land. Why? Okay? Gadati hayom b'ashem elokecha, gadati. Yipati alat ha'shem yisbara ha'shem v'aset mazer. Why am I in this land? Because God promised to my forefathers. Why? For the same reason He told me I had to go down to slavery, to be trained. We're a nation representing God. And there's a reason He chose us. And therefore, when I thank God for the land He gave me and why He gave me the land, I don't begin to say thank you for the fruit. What do I say? Meaning? So the way I can explain beautifully is that my forefathers, Avram or Yaakov, or both of them, were wandering Arameans, obeyed meaning an adjective. And then we ended up meeting our forefathers who were out of homeland. They didn't have a land they could call home. And we went down to Egypt. Remember? Like Yaakov and Tema. Like Yaakov and Tema. Like Yaakov and we became a nation in Egypt. We multiplied there. And the Egyptians afflicted us. And we cried out to God, and God saved us. That's a review of the Benetarim, isn't it? How God fulfilled us. We're not thanking God for our fruit. We're thanking God for fulfilling the Benetarim. We're thanking God for choosing us to be a nation to serve us. What do we bring as a token of our appreciation? Something meaningful, something thoughtful. Our first fruit. Understand? And that's the last mitzvah of speech, and then that, and then we do my throat. Now again, look how Mikra Bikurim ends. Look how beautifully it ends. See the end of page 4? Batai Neveti Breshit. No, as a token of my appreciation, I'm bringing now my first fruit, which God gave me, and you put it in front of God. See Pasuk Yud Aleph? But the Mahta Bachol Hashem Elokecha, Ulelekecha Hu, Atah Levi, Atah Levi, Atah Levi, Atah Levi, Atah Levi, Atah Levi, where did it come from? What did that do with Bikurim? It's the same thing again, it says in Dvarim. I'm showing it's consistent. From Shabbat to the Ten Commandments, you understand why Shabbat and Dvarim changes? To obey the Chaver Allah? You're about to set up a nation representing God in the land of Israel. Right? Remember your experience in Egypt. Feel like you went through it. Every generation feel like they went through it. You set me fine. So, with that background of Sefer Dvarim, when the speech is over, what happens afterwards? Remember Moshe said, you were in Har Sinai, as though you were there? Is that enough or not? What happens in Parshat Ki Tovu after the speech? When we come to Mount of Israel, we're supposed to go to Har Ebal, aren't we? What do we write down in Har Ebal? We put up these big stones, plaster them, and what do we write down? You bring a Torah to the Hesed. And then what do we do on that mountain? We build a Mizbeach, we bring Korbanot, Olot Mishlamim. What do we do? Where do we have teaching Torah? On a mountain. With a Mizbeach, Olot Mishlamim. Where are our teachers? Part of Mishlamim. That's bringing us to the Nishma. We're repeating it for the new generation. And then we have another Torah, by the way. Another brief. And then you bring a brief that brings himself in Kikaro. So on the one hand, we are over Har Sinai. On the other hand, every generation is a new breed. What's the last week's not favorite story? Every 7 years, what do we have to do? And what do we read in Makkah? It's called Dreya Tukasa. Why don't we do it on a mountain, Makkah? Why don't we have to be fed up in Kabbalah, like we did in Harinah? Like, what do we do, Makkah? Oh, Har Bai, the mountain. Zbea, a little Shlame. Now, to make sure we appreciate what we're doing, what do we do the whole year beforehand? What don't we do? And what do we do? That's me. I'm trying to end it because I'm starting to speak to you. Right? Half a year to go, but a promo. You follow? It's such a good book, David Burton. It's such a shame no one learns it. That's my It's the most basic book. I mean, they're all good. But it's such an important book in Chumash. And it just, isn't it mind-boggling how everyone just says it's a repeat and don't bother to read it? It's so basic. It's the laws that Am Yisrael got it's the laws of the first 40 days, which came with Torah Shabbat prayer. It comes with Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That's a tradition part. But the core laws, and Moshe teaches them over and over and over again, and he teaches them the last time in Sefer Dvarim. Every Jew now, right? We don't have a Beit HaMikdash, we don't bring Bikurim. But what do we do every year? We have a few to tell the story before he's having time. What is the topic? Right? How many questions does the son ask? No. But how many questions are there in the four kashas? It's one question. What's the question? Why is it different? And the son brings four proofs. Why is it? You're getting my attention. Right? What do you want to know? Why does that differ? I mean, why are we talking about the story of God taking us out of Egypt? What did we explain to our children? Not why are we must have. We have to explain to our children why did I take you out of Egypt? Where does Chumash discuss why God took us out of Egypt? Where is Barney? And Sarah's Baba Sakhar. And how does it begin? It begins with Hashem Ayinu. And then goes, Samar, we'll see Hashem, the man of Yosan. The source of Chumash explains why are we keeping this, why did God take us out of Egypt? In order to make it his nation, to keep the Torah, is exactly how we begin the Haggadah and how we end the Haggadah. With Avadim Ayinu and the Chodor Vador. It's a perfect match. What mechanism did Chazal choose to tell the story to set his time in the Mishnah? And that's the next source. See the Mishnah, the Sechat Satim? Okay. So we pour the cup, the kid asks the question. How do we teach our children based on the level of the child? This will be close to the common question. We took it totally out of context, don't we? And Haggadah. Turn it not a question about all the laws of the Torah. We turn it to a question about the Seder, an answer about the Seder. We give an example of how to teach a child based on his background. We quote a pasuk in Shmos from the Tzadok, out of context, ma'abot lachem, and turn that son into a rosh. We're giving a lesson. The Medrash gives a lesson in education. And then we begin the story with Gnuz, Rabbi Shmuel. Both statements make sense. Rabbi says, but Rabbi Shmuel is not how we start the story. What we use is the promo of the story. Avadim Ayinu, recognition of, it's an expression of gratitude. If it wasn't for we slaves, we'd still be slaves. But Rab and Shmuel, Rab saying our forefathers were idol worshippers, and now God took us out to serve him, that's what that God is about. We were chosen to serve God. God put us in to take us out to serve him. And therefore, the center of Magid is Ben Tarim. That's where the story has to begin. What did Chazal fit as a mechanism to tell the story? The Dorshin Mi'armi Avidavi Atos Kala Parsha. Why did they pick Armi Avidavi? Because that's a biblical, a statement burning, two thoughts, no one can say it burning.
And it's a yearly proclamation that Israel has to make with Mana Mikdash to show his thanks for God keeping his ministry.
What could be more beautiful to you to tell the story? We don't just say those three sukkim, what do to them? We dash on them. The Dorshin Army of Edovi. And that's the middle, the Abiyah Haggadah page. That's what we do to the. If you look in Haggadah, we'll conclude with that.
Notice in the Haggadah, we start with, we can ask questions, we have a little invite in the beginning.
Okay. And after the chapter, we don't tell the story right away. First, we explain why the story is important, why we're obligated.
Then we explain who's obligated. Even people know the story. Everyone's obligated. How do we prove that point that everyone has to tell the story against you know it all? We bring the mice to the five-day ground, like you know it all. They were up all night still telling the story because they could have written this night.
Instead, they learned through Cain. They darshan. One of the drashot they bring down is in their own conversation.
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, now we've been someone here before with the saving spot. The priest was so important to be sensitized. I tell the story once a year, but I have to remind myself of the day. And what might we call to remind ourselves of the day?
What are we saying? Why did God take us out of Egypt? That's Rashi, and we got Rashi. We haven't told the story. And six, the four sons, and how to tell the story. Understand?
Seven, Yahweh and Moses, and when to tell the story. See what happens? We explain why, we explain who, we explain how, we explain when. And then we get to eight. Now we explain our mission statement.
Why did God choose us? We were, our family was from, our family by the way, the first Sarah.
Why did God take Abraham Avinu?
And we quote from Yeshua. If you have time later on, look at Yeshua Chabdalot, you'll see where Am Yisrael accepted to serve God and for the whole parents of God. After now.
Chabdalot. Just read Chabdalot to answer. There should be three dots at the end of the paragraph, not one dot.
Read Yeshua Chabdalot, you understand. It's a whole paragraph about how we accepted God. That's when we have the official answer of Nishma.
Read it.
You have a project to do. Then what do we say? Now that God chose us to serve Him, when we close, we thank God for keeping His promise. Sabar Rabbi, we say, I'm sorry. What did God promise? I'm going to put you into slavery, and then I'm going to take you out.
Why?
To train you, to sensitize you to become a nation. And then we say that wasn't a one-time get-out-of-jail card. It was a eternal one. V'isham da'la v'tein v'lamu. And then, that's the pregame show. That's the background.
Most data is an hour and a half.
And then we get here. Here in 10, 11, and 12, that means it's our, according to Mishnah, that's our field of deal right up. Look how we're mocking every other field of deal right up. When it comes to Magi. And here's how we tell the story. This is what you have to do slowly, understand, explain, and appreciate, and know where it's coming from. That's Dorshin Armei Yavid Avi. We finished this Rasha. Where do we end the story?
Where should we end the story? If you're dying, where do we end the story? If you're a Shiva Mama, we're getting a story. I agree you with getting a story with freedom. What do?
We end with the Shriya Yamsu and the Drasha, don't we? With the multiplication table. And then we do Dayenu. But Dayenu is the vote, doesn't it?
Dayenu, we're thanking God for every stage of redemption. We're thanking, if you only did one of these things, you say thank you. Allah has had the time to say you if you did this and that. But all the things you're thanking God for, what are they? They start with Shriya Yamsu, don't they? And they go to everything you did, don't they? Getting the mind, getting the money, getting the mind, getting the Shabbat, getting the Shabbat, getting close to Tarakina, getting the Torah, getting the individual, and those are the things that we've done. So as we thank God for doing all these things, those things that we've done, we continue to push up on the other things. Didn't we? Where do we end the story? Do we end the story with coming out of Egypt? Or do we end the story with
16, the holdover door. Everyone has to feel like they went out of Egypt. Why? Not that that's present. Everyone has to be sensitized every year. They have to tell the story, be sensitized once a year. They have to remind themselves every day why you got chosen. Why did you get out of Egypt?
So we need to be disturbed.
That's Rashi. It's the usual Rashi, Ramban. I mean, we do the Ramaphos that Rashi thinks on the sheet. Ramaphos Rashi Ramban. Rashi Ramban. It's a thing that we explain that we master we didn't have that out of Egypt. Remember the Rashi? But we're also explaining why that is not a reason to speak Both are right. And that's how we the part that can be understood both ways, both interpretations reflect something important and true. So we're over time, but I try to give a little. The main goal is to understand this story. We did it just in a 3-hour period, we did it later than that. It's on the website if you want to see it later in detail.